Good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the fourth pasuk. Grace less is given for refuah shenirma, for Tuna bat Marcel. Shor she give a refuah shenirma bekarov. Amen. We're discussing how a person is able to put wool on another person's feelings. How it's possible to land the plane of Ahava. Ahava, love, is like a plane. You need wheels to land it on the person, on the recipient. And we're trying to give a number of different wheels that's necessary, that makes it a reality. Today we're going to be speaking about a very important way of giving someone the feeling that they are beloved. We already mentioned it, but we're going to talk about it more in detail. It's the subject of showing that we appreciate their qualities and we appreciate the good things that they do. Generally speaking, we know that we love to be reactive to things that are done wrong. And when things are done right, we generally don't feel the need to point out and comment. Because the assumption is, in our mind at least, is when someone does something right, that's what they're supposed to do. So where is there room to make a comment? It's only when someone is doing something wrong that we have to say something to try to fix the person or fix the action. This is the human nature that we all, by nature, have. And it's one of the grave mistakes that we can make in a relationship. We've pointed this out before, that we must be proactive in finding the good things and the good experiences that a person is fulfilling, to find them and to comment about them. Something as simple as coming home and saying that the young man prayed so beautifully. He didn't speak one time during Kiryat HaTorah. He acted responsibly with his friends. Azaner Bishbahin. It's one of the songs that we sing on Friday night. At least some people sing it. Azamer means I sing Bishbahim. I sing with praise. A person should carry that song into his home 7 days a week to constantly look for things to comment about. Things that are real, not flattery, not manipulation, not made up. You don't need to make things up. There are plenty of good things that people do. All you have to do is pay attention and make comments. Now, this is an art. It's not as simple as it sounds. It's not complicated, but you gotta have your focus in the right place. First of all, we have a halakha. Halakha says that a person who embarrasses somebody in public It's as if you committed murder, embarrassing somebody in public. It's equal to somebody who got killed. In fact, there are many Rishonim that hold that it's included in one of the three sins that one must give up their life for. It's included in the halakha of murder. Just like you can't murder somebody to save your life, you have to give up your life and you can't murder someone. The same way you can't embarrass someone and you would have to give up your life if that was the choice. Embarrass someone, die. You have to die. Public embarrassment is very, very heavy on a person's heart, on their feelings, on their emotions. We always know that the power of good is greater than the power of bad. That means if something is so bad, if you turn it around into good, it's more powerful than the bid. And this is one of those examples. If embarrassing someone in public is so terrible, imagine how awesome, how great, how special it is when a person compliments in public. You might say to yourself, okay, a compliment's a compliment. What's the difference if I said it to them privately on the walk home from shul? Or if I said it in front of their mother, their brothers, their sisters, their grandparents, their friends, what's the difference? Bottom line, the compliment means I think good of you in this area. One might not realize the power of doing that publicly. It's a great tool to take a comment and to raise it, I don't know how many notches above the comment. Let's review this one more time. You embarrass somebody privately, it's a very bad sin. And it's very hurtful. But you don't have to give up your life for that. Someone tells you, either we take your life or embarrass the person. Halakha says, embarrass the person. But to embarrass them in public? That's murder. That means the effect of a public embarrassment is greater than a private embarrassment. The emotion of feeling embarrassed is not the same private, public. Once you know that, you carry it over to a compliment, the opposite of embarrassed. You give a private compliment, you did beautiful. You gave a public compliment, that's a nuclear comet. So imagine the mileage you can get with the right timing. The same comment in the right place with the right people there. And you make a meaningful comment about, a sincere comment about a person. Now beware. I'm sure this has happened to you when you gave someone a compliment and they said, nah, it's not true. Mm. I'm sure you've had such reactions. So you have to beware of this reaction. Number one, usually it just means they want to hear more. They want you to repeat it because they didn't hear it so well the first time. And they want to hear more of it. Don't be fooled by what they're saying. Read what they actually mean. It means they love what you had to say. They can't believe you said it. They look embarrassed.
Big modesty, yes.
They get shy, embarrassed, all kinds of reactions that basically are saying very loud, I love it. You got to read sometimes people the right way. Every person, I told you once, is like a pardes. Pardes means an orchard. In Torah, we say that the Torah is like a pardes. Torah is like an orchard. And the word pardes represents this orchard. The letter pe means peshat. Peshat means the simple understanding of the Torah. As you read it, you understand it, that's called simple. It's not simple, it's actually very deep. But it's the simple explanation. It's as it reads. Then you have resh. Remez. Remez means the different hints in the Torah. If you look in the Torah, you'll find the Torah is hinting to sometimes very big things in a very roundabout way. Then there is drash. Drash means you're able to doresh. You're able to connect things. You're able to put things together based on words that are repetitive, based on similar words in different places. Derasha. And then there is sod. Sod is secrets of the Torah. I mean, you could read the Torah, you read the Pasuk on one level, as if it's talking about a relationship between a husband and wife, but really, it's talking about a whole different relationship. So the secrets are what's hidden in what's written. The Torah has four departments. Pardes, it's an orchard. The simple, the hint, the derash, and the secret. I once heard from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Alav HaShalom, he says beautifully that every person is like a pardes, which means that there is the pshat of their words. There's actually what they said. That's one level of understanding. He said this. Simple. And then there is the remez. There is what he's trying to hint to you. He's not telling you the remez outright. He needs you to find it in his words. And then there is the drash. And people want you to put things together for them because they're embarrassed to say it outright. And then there's the sod. There's a whole secret of what's going on in this guy's mind. So when someone tells you, not true. God, stop saying that. You're embarrassing me. It just means, embarrass me more. Usually that's what it means. Usually. There are exceptions. There are when the person genuinely feels embarrassed. We'll get ahead to that in a minute. So don't be fooled by people's reactions. Very often they just mean that they love it so much, they're embarrassed that they love it so much. That's all it means. And when you do that in a public setting,
public just means there are more people around, usually family. It has such a powerful effect. Imagine on your way home, you're telling your son how you're proud of him for something he did. Or you could just have waited 5 more minutes and say the same thing in the house. It's a big difference. Sometimes we have opportunities that we don't want to squander. One of the important principles in giving a person compliments sincerely, and as David mentioned,
sometimes they feel embarrassed. And sometimes it's true. Sometimes they do feel genuinely embarrassed. What I told you before applies to many, many situations. But sometimes when they tell you, "You're embarrassing me," they really mean that. And they tell you, "Come on, it's not true." So I'll tell you when they're embarrassed where it's coming from. Ultimately, it's coming from you. I'm going to give you 2 examples of why they would be embarrassed by a compliment. Number one, if they feel that the compliment is just to give them a compliment. If they feel that you just went to a class and they taught you you're supposed to give compliments. So you came home and started to go crazy with your compliments. They're embarrassed because they take that as an opinion on their happiness. They understand that your words are meant to uplift them, which means that you think that they're not uplifted. That means you think they're not so great. So they're embarrassed because they translate your words as not the words, as a means of making them happier, stronger. And that indeed is a reason for them to feel embarrassed. So why does that happen? How do I fix that? It's not a rule, but I'll tell you a general principle. When you give someone a compliment and it's very general, like, "You're a great kid. You're very special." Those kinds of compliments tend to be not received so well by the recipient. Because they're lacking genuine words. They're too general for the person to actually believe, A, that what you're saying is true, and B, they're suspicious. It's meant just to uplift them. When you give general compliments, people suspect that you really don't mean it. That's the general way of things. So when you make such comments, you will get very often people saying, "It's not true." But if a person's compliments are very specific and connected to something that they did, you're never going to have a kid saying to you or someone saying to you, "That's not true." If you would walk in and say, "I just want to tell you, Mommy, David, you don't know what happened to him. there was a boy that was really pushing him and pushing him to do the wrong thing. And he was strong enough to walk away from it without saying the wrong things. You had to see him, how he handled himself during tefillah. He sat there. His friends were next to him. But he controlled himself. He didn't speak. When you give specific comments, there's nothing to say. No, it's not true. What's not true? You're telling them what happened. The not true comments come when you generalize. And they have good reason to suspect you. So you're saying it off the cuff. You're not even focused about what you're saying. They bring you a picture from school. You say, wow, beautiful. Where's the chant? Pass the food. In between bites, you're telling them how beautiful it is. You hardly looked at it. They don't accept that as a compliment. They accept it as a way of you moving on. In this area of life, details are of the essence. Like many areas in life, details are the key. Because details are real. Details means you're paying attention. Details means that it's something that will land on their emotions as genuine. You're being genuine with them. I don't think you will ever get a response negatively if you pointed out something that they actually did in detail. As long as you're saying it in a genuine way. That is part of the strategy here. Say again, if you could say a comment publicly, again, publicly means around people, and if it could be with details about something specific that they did, you are landing the plane of Ahava. You're showing something very, very real and very much appreciated. You're building them as people, and you're building your ahava. You're actually investing that you will be able to be strong with them in a different situation because of the investment. Another very important item to keep in mind is that the compliment should be about something that they did, not something that they have. For example, you tell the kid, you know, you're really good looking. Wow. So special. A, it doesn't mean anything. And if it does mean something to the kid, so you are actually misguiding him. When you compliment someone for something they didn't do. So A, it's fake, because they didn't make themselves beautiful. They didn't make themselves tall. They didn't make themselves smart. So A, it's fake. And maybe even more dangerous, if they think it's real, so you're actually hurting them. I mean, if he's a smart kid or knows the truth, he knows that's not who I am. And if it actually lands on him and he believes that he's special because of his looks or because of his height or because of his brain power or because of the color of his eyes, If he actually believes that, then you are putting a stumbling block in front of him in life. Because going forward, he's going to try to get kavod, honor, and respect, and compliments from things that aren't real. So now that he's getting compliments for his looks, maybe he's going to go shopping and buy some nice clothing, some extra nice clothing. Now he's going to go look for some brand names so that people could say, wow, you're so rich. Wow, you have so much money. Wow, your clothing is so with it. Wow, let me see that car. Whoa, so you're so special with a car like that. You misguided him. You taught him that what's considered a compliment are things that aren't real and they're not even his credit. You're getting a compliment for being wealthy? God gave you money. You're getting compliments for having a strong brain? God gave you that. So again, when you compliment people on external things that God gave them, or external things that aren't that important, A, it's taken by the recipient. If he's real, it's taken as fake. And if he's fake, he will accept it, but you're misguiding him. You're teaching him that this is really something to put your energy in life. That your goal should be to show, to dress, to buy. And this is what makes you an important figure, an important person. So one way or the other, you hurt your son. You hurt your daughter. You hurt the person. You don't compliment people about things that are external. You compliment people on things they achieved. Even if the achievement is external, but focus on the work that went into it. Even if they found a beautiful dress for the wedding, you could focus on the work involved to doing something to enhance the simcha. It took a lot of work. You had to go to the dressmaker. You had to try it on. You had to go back. You had to think. It's work. But somehow connected to something that they accomplished. Not just, oh, your dress is beautiful. For sure, it's niyut. Again, in certain situations, by a wedding, by a simha, people are expecting to hear how beautiful they look and things of that nature. It's okay. I'm just giving you in general, that's not what you're supposed to tell your daughter or your son. Sometimes they need to hear they look good just to boost their confidence. So that's why I say there are situations to tell them they look beautiful, they look nice, so that they could feel beautiful and nice. But in general, the compliments need to be on real things, real accomplishments. Hard work. Imagine you tell somebody, I know how hard it was for you to stay up all night. I know it was so hard. I can't believe you did that.
You see your son working hard in school when he's in first grade. And you tell him how proud you are of his hard work. That's so much more meaningful than if you're proud of his 100. His mark is not as important as the effort he put in. Because a mark is external. A mark is what everybody sees. But when you focus on him, on his work, that's a genuine, real compliment. So too it is with employees. You focus on the result, it's not as valuable as focusing on the effort. Because ultimately, we are the effort, not the result. This is one of the important areas to focus on. That we should relate to their struggles and relate to their sacrifice and relate to their commitment. When you give compliments like that, they will never say, "Ah, no, it's not true." They will not say that. Because it's real, it's genuine, and it's indisputable. Anyway, these are some important tips in this area. The doctor's asking, what if the compliment in public may arouse others to comment negatively? So you should know that this is a general halakha, that one should not talk good about somebody in front of others if there is a suspicion that others might use that as a way to counter negatively. So you're with a few people and you say, "Oh, Albert, what a guy. You don't know, the biggest tzaddik since Moshe Rabbeinu." And you know these guys, they hear that, they say, "Who?" And now you basically led them, forget Albert, but you led them to do averot by being negative. Because now that you said such a big compliment, you opened the doors for them to counter negatively. They're thinking, "I have to stand up for the truth. They don't feel bad about it. I have to say the emet. We can't have people talk sheker like this." And they're going to go, and each one is going to give their twist why he's not Moshe Rabbeinu at all. So yes, if there is such a reality and you feel that people will take their compliment and twist it negatively, so that would not be appropriate. You're absolutely right. I want to tell you something else about this subject. Again, so far we spoke about giving compliments that are detailed, that are focused on real accomplishments, that are focused on the effort of the real accomplishment. The more you get detailed and down to the person's real act and what he did, the more you will land your ahava plane. Now, I want to share with you words from Rabbeinu Tam in his book called Sefer HaYashar. This is an unbelievable thing. Are you ready for this? I'm going to read it to you in Hebrew. But it's kedai, worthwhile to listen and write it. He says, "Kol davar Sheyetze min alev. Any words that come from the heart. From the heart means you actually thought about it. You verified it. You appreciate it. And now you're going to express it. Says Rabbeinu Tam, any words you say to any person, your wife, your children, your friends, any person, that you say it from the lev, yikanes valev, it will enter the recipient's heart. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. The kol asher lo yetze, and anything that comes, he says, ki im min hapeh, is only from your mouth. Words. It doesn't originate in your lev, in your emotions. Lo ya'avor ha'ozen, will not pass the ear. It means it will go to the ear and there's a wall. Unbelievable. This is one of the great Rishonim. He says, you talk from your heart, it enters the ear into the heart. You talk from your words, from your mouth, the mouth is only able to reach the ear. But the heart is able to penetrate the ear to the heart. What an unbelievable thing. He says, Vehaya hachacham omer. He says, a wise man would say, Kishe yesereni adam. When a person gives me musar, when a person gives it to me straight, ve'erze lehakir ima musar ahu yavo min alev, and I want to know if the sender of the message is giving me musar from the heart. So somebody is giving me guidance, someone is giving me rebuke, someone is talking to me about something important about my life. And I want to know if it's coming from his mouth or it's coming from his heart that cares about me. He says, Eret, I will look. Im nichnas mosaro belibi. He says, I will look to see if his words entered my heart. If I got hit over here in the lev. Vehit'orera nafshi lidvaram. And my soul was awakened to the words. So if it hit my heart, he says, akir, then I know. Ki bechol libo. That he's talking with all his heart and everything he has for his love. The word lev in Hebrew, by the way, is the root of the word love. Lev.
Very nice.
Lev is love. How do I know what a person is giving me? How do I know when my father is giving me musar? That it's just for me because he cares about me and it's not about him and it's not because he's angry and it's not because he's frustrated and it's not because... How do I know? How do I know when a rabbi speaks that it's coming from his lev that cares about me? So this wise man said, I measure. If I get awakened from within, if I see my soul tingling, he says, I know ki bechol libo u'kol neodo midaber, Ve'im nafshi. He says, but if my inner soul, lo tashit li balid barav, which means I heard the words, I can repeat everything he said, but there's no feelings in my heart, in my emotions to what he said. Ve'lo hit'orera le'ahzik bam, and it wasn't awakened to grab onto them. Eda, then I know. Ki musaro, that his musan, his guidance, his lesson, eno ki im davar sefataim, it's just lip service. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. What powerful words. Sefer HaYashar says, it's so predictable that you can measure in yourself where the words came from. Because it's a guarantee that if you speak to someone sincerely from your heart, you care about them, and you're only trying to help them. You're not trying to help yourself. You don't want your son to do good so they could say you have a great son. You don't want to have good children because they can bring you nahat, because you will enjoy them more. No, none of that. No selfishness. You're just thinking about them and you want them to be successful. If this is where your words come from, sometimes you have to take a few minutes to bring the words out of your lev. Usually when you speak off the cuff, you don't have the time to allow your heart to make the information the way it's supposed to be. A person sometimes could be well-meaning, but they didn't take the time to really appreciate what they're saying and why they're saying it and why it's good for the person. They generally think it's good for them, but they're not really thinking about it. You need a little bit of time to get the emotions to really understand why this is what this person needs to hear. If the person is speaking from the lev, it will guarantee go in the ear and pierce right to the heart. Doesn't mean the person's going to change. It just means that you hit your target. What unbelievable words this is. You want to give a compliment that actually lands on your spouse, on your child, on your talmid, on your student. You have to find the takeoff from the heart and not from the mouth. If the plane takes off from your mouth, it's only going to get to the ear. But if you find the ability that it should take off from the heart, it will go pierce all the way through. So sometimes giving someone a compliment with deeper thought and preparation, it can have a lot more effect than the simple words that you say. Anyway, these are some important ideas and strategies of how a person could put wheels on his plane of ahava. It should land on the person. Sincere compliments about important things, detailed about effort, about their struggle, and it should come from the heart. This is something you don't have to wait till Gan Eden to see the results. You could try it today, and if you can get yourself to find somebody in your life, to find something about them that is sincerely beautiful, and to point out the beauty of it, and take a second or two that it should take from your heart, from your good feelings, You have to see it with your own eyes. It's right there. You could feel it today. You try it right now. Go somewhere and make that happen. And you see the power of landing ahava on somebody else's heart. Ezrat Hashem, we have Siata Deshmaya to give the people around us the coat of wool to make them feel loved so that we will be able to help them and guide them all the right ways. Have a good day.